Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button. Boy, do we need the pause button these days? And joining us today to Edge God In to your journey of life. Perhaps you're finding yourself today on the main stage of drama. Perhaps you're finding yourself as an observer of drama. Perhaps you're tied up with your shoulding in life and you're shoulding all over yourself. And perhaps you're caught in what the title of today's podcast is referred to, the disease to please. The disease to please. Our learning objective today is probably a learning objective you haven't heard before, but the learning objective today, by the end of today's podcast, is that you learn how to put down your donkey. I don't mean kill your donkey if you have a donkey. I mean stop carrying the donkey. Learn how to put down the donkey. Now, this will make more sense when you stay with us through this podcast, as I will explain what the donkey is as you're moving forward so that you could be a lighter version of yourself in Christ. So let's jump in. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, show us what it means to put down our donkey, to let go of those things that we feel that we need in order to feel that we're enough, that we matter. Help us, God. Too often, we will jump into other people's lanes and actually jump in their car and start driving their car for them when it's actually their car to drive. Give us the strength and wisdom and peace of mind to learn how to release, to allow other people their earth school class experience without overriding, jumping in, taking control, and causing other people to miss out on the opportunity for learning and growth. Too often, Lord, we've attached our identity when it comes to how we impact other people around us. And when we can't impact or change someone else's point of view, then we actually feel less than in some way. This is not the life you died to give us. Give us the strength to remember once again the power of Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that you have set us free. Help us, dear God, to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by that yoke of slavery. You are our deliverer, Lord. Thank you, dear God. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of every human being that's tuning into today's podcast. May they walk away closer to you today than yesterday, being able to hear your voice more often today than yesterday, and be dedicated even more today than yesterday to edging God in, to edging you into their words, thoughts, deeds, and actions. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's jump in. This is going to be, I've mentioned this, if you've been listening to the podcast, I'm sure you're pushing back on that. Sure, Lauren, this is going to be a quick podcast because, as you know from the podcast in the past, they usually go 45 minutes to an hour. It is my intention to get it down to a half an hour. So pray for me that the Holy Spirit is my virtual assistant and is able to do that so that I can honor your time as well. We're jumping into a very interesting topic, the disease to please. Now, first and foremost, there is nothing wrong with pleasing. There's nothing wrong with having a desire to please other people when we come from a place of non-attachment to self in the giving, in the sharing. When we are doing it from a place of serving God versus man, problem is with this disease to please is we too often move from a place of lack and scarcity in ourselves. What do I mean by that? We move from a place of not quite thinking we measure up in someone else's eyes or not thinking that we matter. So we go overboard. It's referred to as overcare behavior in other people's lives, to be noticed, to be praised. It's addicting. The disease to please can be addicting. When we lose ourselves, our sense of identity, and we judge ourselves by what we do for other people or feel good about, sleep well at night because we've served these people, over having our identity grounded in Christ, doing what we do for his glory, even if it's picking the crumbs up on the floor, for his glory, not for ours. That ego is so darn slippery, and I'm speaking to myself today as well. It's such a slippery little serpent that slithers into our intentions for doing what we do. It's very cunning in its way to attach our sense of meaning or worth and value to what we do. We become doers to get a certain reaction or response from the world around us, applause, acknowledgement. And when we don't get that, don't you realize what I just did for you? I bought you flowers and you haven't called me in a week. When we start to get into that tit for tat, hey, I'm doing this. I'm doing this for other reasons. Then we know that it's a matter of our intentions and our motives that Satan's got a little claw in. And he's masterful at doing that. A powerful prayer is to simply ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to sift me and make me aware of my false intentions or intentions that are rooted in my own ego, my need to be seen, acknowledged, and recognized in my desire to give to this person, whatever that person is or that situation is. If you feel moved to give, pause, get off the stage, and ask the Lord to reveal your motives. Wow, this is not an easy Earth School class to pass. I thought I passed it last year, and it swung around again last month. So it's one of those things that keeps rearing its ugly head. And it's part of being human being, because we get hijacked by wanting other people's approval over God's approval. So two of our power scriptures for today are, first one is Galatians 1:10, which says, am I trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I still trying to please people, my people pleaser, the disease to please? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So I'm going to pause there after that verse, and I'm going to read to you a fable. When was the last time someone read you a fable? Well, here goes. I'm recording this on Friday. Happy Friday. Perhaps you're listening to this on Monday. Happy Monday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. This is a fable by Aesop. Aesop. A fable by Aesop. Lean into this. I ask that you simply tune into where you recognize yourself in this fable. A man and his son were once going with their donkey to the market. As they were walking along by its side, a countryman passed them by and said, you fools, what is a donkey for but to ride upon? So the man put the boy on the donkey, and they went on their way. But soon they passed a group of men. One of them said, see that lazy youngster? He lets his father walk while he rides. So the man ordered his boy to get off, and he got on himself. But they hadn't gone far when they passed two women, one of whom said to the other, shame on that lazy lout to let his poor little son trudge along. Well, the man didn't know what to do, but at last he took his boy up before him on the donkey. By this time, they had come to the town, and the passers-by began to jeer and point at them. The man stopped and asked what they were scoffing at. The men said, aren't you ashamed of yourself for overloading that poor donkey of yours and your hulking son? So he put himself and his boy up on the donkey. Now people were judging him for that. The man and the boy got off and tried to think of what to do. They thought and they thought, till at last they cut down a pole, tied the donkey's feet to it, and raised the pole and the donkey to their shoulders. They went along amid the laughter of all who met them till they came to the market bridge, when the donkey, getting one of his feet loose, kicked out and caused the boy to drop his end of the pole. In the struggle, the donkey fell over the bridge, and his four feet began tied together, and he didn't end up making it. That will teach you, said the old man who had followed them. Please all, and you will please none. That's the ending of that fable. Now, when I had heard this earlier, I didn't know that the donkey passed away at the end. Being an animal lover, that's not cool. However, don't miss the meaning of this story. please all and you will please none. When you're constantly trying to please people, you constantly adjust your behavior, you constantly adjust your God-given countenance. When you anchor your identity in Christ, Christ is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, as is God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His Son is the same way, as is the Holy Spirit. We have that sense of freedom when we lean into that identity in Christ. It doesn't shift like the shadows. When you are in the disease to please, you will shift. You will edit yourself based on your perceived perception of someone's need. You will be like a chameleon. You will rise and fall depending upon how the world judges you. You will stay up at night, often worrying about what people will think, what people said, how they said it. You will also stay up worrying about behavior of other people, why they did something, why they didn't something, why they didn't do something. It is exhausting. The disease to please will suck the energy right out of you. The definition of energy is your capacity for action. Our goal as we're walking through this journey of life is to be renewable in Christ. The definition of renewable is to be able to expend energy without depleting the source. When your source is Christ, you can expend energy and you won't deplete the core of who you are. That's why Galatians 2:20 is such a powerful verse for reflection. I have been put to death with Christ on the cross. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. This life I live by faith alone in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things, not just some things, all things. Let's look at another verse, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, whatever work that you're doing, chances are you are working with other human beings. So the disease to please will have an undercurrent that's can easily catch your eye. It's a shiny object. Stand firm in Christ before you do anything for anyone else. Dear God, do you want me to do this for them, or are you guiding them on a learning experience? When I went through advanced cancer, I had many people say, I wish I could take this away from you. And my response to that was, this is my Earth School class. This is my victory in Christ that he is giving me the opportunity to experience. No one else can do this. Carry your cross. Everybody's got their cross. If God desires for you to help lighten the load of someone, ask, what do you want me to do for this person? Holy Spirit will tell you. It'll be very clear. I've heard very clear callings. Write this person a check. Bring them dinner. Call this person. Say a prayer for them. And as soon as you hear the voice of God telling you, when you ask, what do you want me to do for this person? Respond quickly. Close the gap between hearing and responding to the voice behind you saying, this is what I want you to do for this person. Be still. He'll let you know. Let's turn to the Old Testament in Numbers. I referenced this in the last podcast that I might do a podcast on this story because it's so profound. And so here I am doing it. Numbers chapter 22. Okay, we have a bunch of different players here. We have someone named Balak who wants to curse the Israelites. We have someone named Balaam who actually has a heart after God, but he's getting caught up in the disease to please. So as a result of listening to the screams of the world coming from Balak, he actually does not listen to the voice of God. Yet God continually pursues him as he does us when we play a Jonah in life. Story of Jonah, just a little refresh on that. God asked him to go to Nineveh. He went in the opposite direction. A whale swallowed him up, spit him out on the beach. God said that had the same message, go to Nineveh. Finally, he gets it. So many times we have that Jonah experience. This is just a little different twist to it and a couple different players in the book of Numbers. So we're starting at chapter 22. So come with me on this. And again, look at where you recognize yourself as we're reading through these scriptures. Holy Spirit, where do I relate as these scriptures are read? Show me something that you desire to free me from, because Jesus is always going after removing those chains that bind us to the things of the world so that we can run and not grow weary. Balaam said in verse 8, Balaam said, spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you as the Lord may speak to me. So he's got a relationship with God there. He's talking to God. So the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam that night. God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Hear this, the people who came out of Egypt covered the surface of the land. Come now. So curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out. Simply put, Balak wants Balaam to curse the Israelites. God's response, do not go with them. You shall not curse these people. They're blessed. Balaam got up in the morning and said to the leaders of Balak, go back to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. The leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent leaders, more numerous this time, more distinguished than the first time. So here we're talking about popularity. This is a great opportunity to pause. How do you respond? What is your behavior like when you are in the presence of someone who is highly esteemed from the world's point of view? Do you edit your attention? Do you edit your behavior? I remember Joyce Meyer telling a story one time. She was behind closed doors and yelling at her kids, and her house was awry, and there was a knock on the door, and she was screaming and yelling, and she saw that it was the pastor, so she went to the door and quickly cleared things up with the kids and opened the door and said, well, hello, pastor. How are you today? Would you like to come in for some tea? We constantly do that. There's many times that we will put our best selves on the front lines for strangers, and yet behind closed doors, it's a much different story. Are you consistent with your behavior? Because you're serving one God. And the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you, whether you're behind closed doors or not. That coaching question to ask yourself, do I respond differently when I'm around someone who's highly, highly esteemed or has a position that I want, or is my boss, or is somebody higher than myself? How do I respond to that person versus someone who perhaps is not and is doing the simple tasks of life? It's a good check on your behavior. They came to Balaam and they said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, I beg you, let nothing hinder you from coming to me. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you read through chapter 22, what you're going to see is Balak's relentless pursuit to get Balaam to do what he wants him to do. Keeps coming after Balaam. Finally, Balaam starts to waver. And God said to Balaam at night, if the men have come to call you, get up and go with them, but you shall still do only what I tell you. So he's knowing that Balaam is wavering. So he's saying, okay, if they ask you to go, don't do anything unless I tell you to do it. So Balaam got up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went to the leaders of Moab. God didn't tell him to get up at that time and go with the leaders. If the men call you, get up and go with them. Balaam decided to go without even being called. Have you decided to go and do things for other people to win the approval of man? Or has God called you to do that? This is where we start to experience what Paul talks about. It's called selfish ambition and vain conceits. I got this, God. I know you want me to work with these people. I know you want me to go here because you know it'll advance your career. It'll boost you up. There's lots of different reasons. Believe me, I've been an entrepreneur for 18 years. I've totally played the fame game, and it's not fun. It doesn't leave you with peace at night, and it's very enticing. It's a job for the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your virtual assistant when it comes to things like this. So Balaam got up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went ahead without God telling him to. So God's anger was kindled because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Man, when I read this, I'm like, Lord, I do not want to go anywhere or do anything that is not according to your will. Give me the grace and the ability to hear your voice and respond. Not what the world says, not what this person says, or not what my ego says to do this or go there or experience this. have filters and boundaries that are aligned with God's word. What do I mean by that? Be intentional about your discernment process, how you discern the direction that you're going, rather than impulsively, because it's a shiny object, jumping on that bandwagon. And I'm 53 years old. I thought I was 52 yesterday, but my husband let me know that I was missing a year. So I was really psyched, being an advanced cancer conqueror. I've actually been wearing this earth suit for 53 years now, thanks be to God. So it's easy to, the older I get, I'm finding it's easy to pause, to really practice getting off the stage and saying, God, do you want me to do this? I was just praying that this morning on another opportunity. And I heard in my heart, no, this isn't the direction I want you to go in. So I said, okay, help me to want what you want me to do. One of the filters that I've kind of put into place, a good filter, because we do have those filters that produce negative behavior, but a positive filter in Christ is to say, do these people serve you? Do these people know you? That I'm moved to be involved with? That can be a real indicator as well. Or the other question is, dear God, perhaps these people don't know you. Do you want me to be a part of making you recognizable in this situation with this person? It's very easy, if you lead with the ego, to start compromising your own behavior so that you fit in with them. So those two questions to pause and ask yourself: one, do these people love you and know you? Two, if they don't love and know you, do you want me to go in and witness by my example of knowing you? Because we're Christ's ambassadors. We're, as I mentioned before, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And when we forget that, even in our disease to please, then we get burnt out. We get resentful when we give, and no one gives back, or we're not acknowledged for our giving. It gets so ugly. So here, Balaam went against what God said. Basically, wait on me. Don't do anything unless I move you forward to do it. He didn't listen. He gets up anyway and starts going and pursuing his own selfish ambition. That, you know, I'm going to see what Balak has to say, because he's a man of high prestige and I'm curious of what he might be able to do for me. So God, in his anger, stood in the way, sent an angel. He was riding on a donkey, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, the donkey turned off the path and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn back toward the path. But the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path of the vineyards. This is the same example of Nineveh. Don't try to run from God. He is the hound from heaven, and he will pursue you. I can't tell you how many times this has happened in my life. He loves us enough not to leave us where we're at. He is the good shepherd, and he will track us down. This is a great story from the Old Testament to reflect on, to see how concrete this can be in our lives. Angel of the Lord steps where the donkey stepped again, with a wall on its side and a wall on that side. The donkey was kind of cornered. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against it, and he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further. God will keep pushing you. He will push you till it's uncomfortable. Man, I had to lose my breasts and my hair to be delivered from some stuff. So I was just saying the other day, how to have a cancer conqueror's mindset without the cancer is a job for the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the left or to the right. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey again. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Can you imagine if all of a sudden your dog starts talking to you, or an animal starts talking to you? And the donkey said, "What have I done to you that you have struck me all these times?" Then Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a mockery of me. If there was a sword in hand, I would have killed you." The donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden your whole life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and lay himself face down. Shazam! God is in the house. Can you imagine this scene? An angel standing there with a sword drawn in his hand. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your behavior was obstinate and contrary to me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away from me, I would have certainly killed you and let her live." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I have sinned." This is the pivoting point, similar to Paul being flattened on the road to Damascus by the presence and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth appearing to him. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Jesus makes himself known in our lives. Are you attentive to his voice, to his promptings? No, don't go there. Call this person. Send a check to that person. Spend time with this person. Ask this person for dinner. Are you attentive? Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. But now, if my going displeases you, I'll turn back." So now he's ready to listen to what the Lord originally says. "Don't get up and go until I tell you." How many times have we gotten up and went before God tells us? And we run into the same problem. The donkey we're riding is not going in the direction we want to go. We keep coming up empty-handed. Is the donkey you're riding not going in the direction you want to go? It's time to put down the donkey when it comes to trying to please people to the point where you literally shut off your ability to hear what God wants you to do. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you shall only speak what I tell you." Now, this is worth a little pause here. Only speak what I tell you. Dear Lord, may we only speak what you tell us to speak. When Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he must have been psyched. He went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is at the border of Aaron, the farthest end of the border. Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not urgently send word to you to call you? Why did you not come immediately? Am I really unable to honor you? Am I really unable to honor or pay you?" So Balaam said to Balak, "Indeed, I have come to you now, but am I able to say anything at all? Am I able to say anything at all?" He says, "The word that God puts in my mouth, that's what I'll speak." Can you imagine, before we write an email, before we pick up the phone, before we lead a team meeting, before we coach, before we instruct, before we counsel people in our lives, before we receive counseling, if we were to pause and say, "Lord, I only want to speak the words that you put in my mouth." Can you imagine how the trajectory of our lives would shift? Shift from self-focus to God-focus and therefore to other-focus? And Balaam went with Balak. So Balak's psyched that he's there. Chapter 23, Numbers 23. Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here." So he basically instructs Balak at the beginning of chapter 23, "Let's glorify God." Okay? Now God met with Balaam again, who said to him, "I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered a bull and a ram on each altar." Then the Lord put a speech in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and you shall speak this." He goes on to his first dissertation. Then Balak's response to that dissertation from God, which basically is like, "I love my people. There's no way I want my people being cursed. They're blessed, not cursed." Balak's wanting to curse the people of Israel. God won't allow it. He loves his people. "What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies," says Balak. "And you're blessing them," because that was his first speech that God put in his heart and his mouth to speak. Balaam answered, "Must I not be obedient and careful to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?" So now it's not about Balaam. It is about God. I am not going to speak my own words because I don't want another donkey talking to me in my life and an angel standing in my path. So Balak said to him, come with me. I implore you to another place from where you can see them, although you will see only the nearest and not all of them, and curse them for me. So Balak's still pushing his cause. Balaam is obedient. He says, no, I'm only, again, in verse 16, the Lord met with Balaam and put a speech in his mouth again, blessing the Israelites. Turn to chapter 24. Balak is determined to stop this. Who in your life is determined to get in your way of you making God recognizable? Who is it that blocks you from showing up as a servant of Christ in your life? Who's your Balak that continually bites at your heels, continually tries to get you to step off the path of righteousness with Christ? Who is that Balak, and how do you handle that? In Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for man. Perhaps it's your boss. Perhaps it's one of your direct reports. Perhaps it's a colleague that is the Balak in your life, in the sense that continually gets you off of the peace of Christ. You know it's not of God when you feel dissension, frustration, anger, the things of the world, resentment, hatred. Those things are not of God. When you feel the peace of God, and actually I should say frustration is actually a turning point that the Holy Spirit can use to get you off the stage of the drama. When you feel that tension and frustration, it's a turning point to either go below the line with lights off or above the line and clarity lights off leadership training. So frustration, if you're feeling it, is an awesome trigger just to remind yourself to have that prayer of Balaam. Lord, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do in this situation? And to allow God to speak through you. So in 24, again, he puts a third speech in Balaam's mouth. And Balak's anger was so kindled in verse 10 against Balaam that he struck his hands together. Bam! He struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I call you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have done nothing but bless these people three times. Therefore, now flee from your place. I had intended to honor you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor. Listen to that verse. If you meditate on any verse in the verses we've read, check out Numbers chapter 24, verse 11. Where do you recognize yourself there? Here is the man in honor that is capable of blessing from a worldly point of view, Balaam. And he says, I was going to honor you, right? Promote you, esteem you, give you the keynote presentation. But behold, the Lord has held you back from this honor, right? Balaam said to Balak, did I not tell your messengers whom you have said, who you had sent to me? Even if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own accord. What the Lord speaks, that's what I'm going to speak. So gold, silver, so what is it for you that causes you to compromise your stance in Christ? What is it? Popularity, power, passion, possessions? What is it that's the shiny object that causes you to please people and to compromise yourself in Christ rather than surrendering yourself as Balaam did and said, I don't want to speak one word, dear God, unless you put it in my mouth. And if you don't want me to go here, even though from my point of view, this looks like a massive blessing that I could enjoy in my life, then I don't want to go. Keep your silver, keep your gold. I belong to the Lord's. I belong to the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it as if working for the Lord with all of your heart and not for man. Are you carrying a donkey? What is the donkey that you're carrying around, trying to win the approval of mankind? Therefore, overpleasing, diseasing the disease to please. And particularly, I find that this kicks in when there's people, somebody that has something that you want that they can give to you. Be very careful. Ask the Lord to sift your motives so that you can get off the stage of the disease to please and the drug of approval and seek counsel from the Holy Spirit. Be blunt and direct with the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm totally drawn to this shiny object. I'd love for them to pick me. I'd love for them to choose me in this situation. And so therefore, I will please them in these ways so that they can see me. Be very careful of that, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the playground of Satan with a small s. And smoke and mirrors can deceive you and get you off the path. You will find yourself riding a donkey that is going in the wrong direction. You'll find yourself picking up the donkey and carrying it if that wins the approval of the people that you want to win the approval of, if it pleases them. Where are you compromising yourself in your life for the sake of the disease to please? In order to get something that truly your ego really wants. I say this as a job for the Holy Spirit because there's been so many times when I think I'm altruistic and it's a pure motive. I don't think I'll ever get there. Yet I do know this, that I don't want to go anywhere without the wisdom and strength and guidance of God because it does not end up good. It does not give that peace that passes all human understanding. And you live in a place of attachment. Again, you've heard me speak about this. It's worth repeating because we have so many attachments. And today's topic, the attachment is to people, the disease to please. You have something that I want or that I think I need in order to advance where I think I want to go. So therefore, I will have the disease to please. Or simply, I have the disease to please because I get that affirmation back and my ego feels good. Be very careful about the motives. Will we ever have those pure motives? I mean, I can only speak from my own experience. Just when I think I am being altruistic, the Holy Spirit, because I keep going back to that prayer, dear God, show me my motives and the motives that are not aligned with your holy will for my life. And he's shown me everything from jealousy to envy to pride to sucking up to people that I think could open up doors for me in the past. And it's summed up as I was talking to my colleague the other day, it's the drug of approval and it's the fame game. It does not end well and it robs your peace and it steals your joy because it's an attachment, which is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, some outcome, some reaction or response from another human being, you can't be happy. Which caused Balaam to not listen to God and to choose to follow his gut desire to be honored by someone in power. Are you wanting to be honored by someone in power? God will give you what is best for you, where you can honor him the most. It's all about how we show up for Christ. It's all about what we do to die to ourselves so that people can see more of Jesus today than yesterday. So many times we do think it's about us and therefore we become selfish and self-centered. Speak to myself as well on this. And we really have the incredible invitation in today's readings from Numbers chapter 22, 23, and 24 to really ask the Holy Spirit to help you learn and to tune into those areas that are twisting you into an attachment to something that involves humans, people, disease to please. Are you still trying to win the approval of man or of God? Because you can't do both. It's either God or man. God's very, very clear about that. Holy Spirit, help us to only want to do those things which bring us closer to you. Give us the grace to want what you want, to talk to the people you want us to talk to say the words, put your speeches in our heart and in our mind and our use our facial expressions to get your presence across. Because it's so easy to get caught up in attachment, the disease to please, and the drug of approval. And we end up carrying donkeys in our lives just to win the approval of people in power or to get people to notice us in certain situations. And sometimes that's enough of a reward to keep us stuck in the disease to please, and it becomes addictive. We only want to do that which brings us closer to you. Help us to want what you want us to want. And give us the grace of forgiveness for ourselves, for people around us. Help us to release resentment today. If there's anyone listening that has resentment, I have worked so hard and done all of this for you, and I've gotten nothing back. Oh, it's such a heavy place. We just pray for your peace, for your freedom in those areas, Lord, so that we can experience the freedom that you died to give us. Again, I will do only that which brings me closer to you. Help that to be our reality. Help us to only want to do those things for other people. Who do you want us to call? Who do you want us to bless with what you've blessed us with our time, our talent, and our treasure? Show us what our give back project is today, because it's not about what we get, it's about what we give. You modeled that for us, sweet Jesus. Free us from our self-focus and our selfish ambitions and vain conceits that lead to the disease to please and the drug of approval. Help us, like our learning objective for today, to put down all of our donkeys, Lord, and to pick up our cross and follow you. That's our true freedom. That's the freedom that you died to give us, sweet Jesus. And you love us. You love everyone that's on this call. Thank you for loving and adoring us so much so that you will not leave us stuck in our self-focus and in false motives. We want a pure heart, Lord, and we know that's a job for the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come in and reveal to us those motives that are twisting our perceptions. When we do change the way we look at things, then the things we look at change. As our beloved brother Wayne Dyer once said, help us, dear God, to do better today than yesterday. And thank you for your grace moving forward. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, moral of today's topic and podcast, put down your donkey. Please join us at Edge God In. If you go to edgegodin.com, you'll find many different podcasts. And our main mission here is to champion your human potential in Christ. To champion your human potential in Christ so that you can make God recognizable and edge God in more today than yesterday. If you've been inspired by today's podcast, share it with someone that perhaps can become a lighter version of themselves as they put down the donkeys they're carrying for the disease to please and the drug of approval. God bless you today, and put down that donkey. Give him heaven. There's enough of the other side going on today. God bless you.